knowing black people, particularly in this area of the world, we like anything that looks like it's bordering on something new, because we're so tired of everything that ain't new. And they won't, no, we'll go for it. We'll pioneer, you know, we'll lead the parade, which is what they try to get us to do. Now, you can't get a decent place to stay. You can't get a decent job. But if you want to lead the gay parade and you're black, they will reserve a spot for you. If you don't believe it, try it. That's what I mean by evidence of what I'm talking about. The record shows this. And they start with who? The youngest. Okay. Always work with them in the choir and churches and whatnot. And they do it through the most intelligent of black people. They don't start with the fellow sitting there with the wine bottle in front of the liquor store who's 40 years old.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome back. Long hiatus on the 5W1H show. I'm your host, Jav Os, or Counter-Racist, however you may know me. Any one of those names will do. Yeah, it's been a long hiatus, it's been a long summer, you know, dealing with life and trying to keep up with, you know, your care unit and whatnot. But, you know, we're back just talking about, you know, some current news, just to tap back in with the people. And I have a friend of the show, Smoking Damages, back with us, and he's here to talk with us about a few current events and things we just want to go over with that's just been happening in the news. How are you doing today, sir?
Not too bad. Nice day in London. Should be an interesting show today. Yeah. A lot of interesting things have been happening lately on here and in the US, all around the world, actually, in terms of in context of white supremacy. So it should be quite an interesting discussion.
Never a dull moment in a system of racism. Never. So the first topic that we're going to get into is a gentleman named Ali London. You brought this fellow to my attention, you know, a few weeks ago, and apparently he's a, you know, to use his pronoun, he's a they or something like that, and he wants to be identified as Korean instead of a Briton or whatever, which is, you know, kind of confusing right there, because that's like a, I guess, but he wants to change ethnicities or whatnot, and he had some surgeries to turn into a so-called Korean person. So what was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Ali London is, as far as I can make out over here in London, he's thrown a little bit of a spanner in the works inadvertently. I don't know if that was his intention. I don't think it was, but what's happened is there's been a bit of a turn in the, let's say, in the whole kind of trans debate and stuff like that that's been happening down through the years, what I call acceptable psychosis, right? That's my little phrase for it, that everyone's been sort of, I don't know, everyone's kind of been in this kind of thing called acceptable psychosis in the realms of how people are phrasing this whole thing with gender identification, as if it's possible to, you know, identify yourself as different genders, etc. Like, if you actually are the gender that you identify as. And he's kind of thrown the spanner in the works just by simply coming out and identifying himself as Korean. Now, bearing in mind, anyone can look up Ali London on YouTube or across the internet, and you can see he's a whole white English man, as what we know today as a white male, a white person. And he's had, I think, 18, he's had 18 plastic surgeries, right? And he's also come out as non-binary. And for people who don't know what non-binary is, it's someone who identifies as neither male or female. This is what non-binary people say, that they're neither male nor female. And I thought that was interesting because he's also come out as Korean, right? So he doesn't, he's expressly said this on his YouTube channel. He says he does not want to be called English anymore or British anymore. He wants to be known as Korean and referred to as Korean. And he also wants to be known as non-binary. And get this, the third part as well, he's also come out as identifying as a whole other human being. There's a guy called Jimin, a Korean person called Jimin. I'm not making this up. There's a guy called Jimin who already exists, a Korean man, and he's a part of this other Korean pop band or something. I think he's the fourth member or fifth member of this Korean pop band. And this Ollie London character has come out identifying as a whole other human being, right? So get this now. So he's also, so he's non-binary, he's Korean, and he's a whole other human being, right? So this is what's interesting about it to me. A lot of trans people now have come out in support of him being non-binary, but then have also said that they believe, this is non-white people and white people, they believe that Ollie London is practicing racism.
Wow.
But yeah, they believe that he's practicing racism by identifying as a Korean man, which is really, so they don't think that he could be, I was posing the question to a few trans people these last couple of weeks, and I was saying, well, don't you think there's room for the fact that he could be confused about his gender then? And they're saying, well, no. So on the one hand, he definitely is confused about being Korean. He's definitely confused about being a whole other human being, this guy called Jimin, but he's not confused about himself identifying as non-binary. And I think that, I just thought that was really, really interesting, because obviously a lot of people are saying, well, so now how many other people, because obviously this guy's confused about quite a few things, I would say, and I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but I would say it's quite obvious that this guy is quite confused. So so then it's opened up a whole other debate now about what it means if someone just says that they are neither male or female, or someone says that they are male or female, is it actually true scientifically? And, you know, there's lots of different types of science now that that says, yes, you know, some people can be both male and female. I'm not convinced, but there, you know, there's lots of science on both sides. So I guess it's that's what's interesting about this whole thing with Ollie London. It poses lots and lots and lots of different questions. I mean, did it pose lots of questions for you?
Absolutely. I watched it a few times and I just thought confusion. I mean, this is just confusion because all you have to do is be, you know, born over in Korea to be a Korean, or, you know, live over there. You don't have to go and try to change your appearance to be Korean. So that's what confused me. It's a nationality. So you don't have to change, have plastic surgery to go and say, hey, I'm a Korean now. Or you could just repatriate and say, hey, I'm Korean now. I'm a white man that's a Korean. So the fact that he felt the need to change his appearance to be Korean, because that's not really makes you Korean. I mean,
exactly.
So, you know, like confusion, and it's like you said, a lot of people wasn't down with it. I just think he's ahead of his time. This is probably going to catch on. He might be 10 years early or 5 years early, but, you know, he'll be a pioneer, you know, once it catches on with
I predict that. I think you're probably right. I predict you're probably going to see a few people coming out. There's going to be a lot of white people that identify as black. I think it's going to really throw a cat amongst the pigeon. Therefore, if black people come out and identify as white, I think that's when people are really going to have a problem with it. You know, it's I mean, just to go through a couple of things that he actually said. He actually said, I do identify as Korean. I feel Korean. I don't identify as British. This is what he actually said. He said, for the past for the last 8 years, I've struggled with identity issues, with who I am. I've undergone racial transitional surgery. So he said, I've been trapped in my body for such a long time. I haven't been trapped in my body my whole life, but it's been for the last 8 years. That's what he said. And he also said, it does, on another broadcast he did, I think it was on Good Morning Britain, the show that we have over here, he said, it doesn't matter if you identify as a potato, a Smurf, a Disney princess, rabbit, a cat, or a dog. That's what he said.
Right.
That's what he actually said. Just and then these people are still saying, someone who comes out with something like that, these people are still saying that he's not confused about the fact that he's non-binary. They're saying, no, you have to respect the fact that he's non-binary, that he's neither male or female. And I think if we're admitting that he's confused about all these other things, why is it not also really, really clear to to say that he's confused about that as well, you know. There's also some other interesting things I was thinking about in relation to that same topic as well. I was thinking, well, this whole non-binary issue, I was thinking, like, let's say, for example, a lesbian female, right? Does a lesbian female have the right or the ability to discern for themselves if the person that they're attracted to is male or female? I mean, what makes a lesbian, right? Right. It's a female who's attracted to other females, right? But then if you have a person in front of them who says they're non-binary, if that lesbian woman is attracted to that person, isn't that lesbian person attracted to females? Right? So then how can a... Yeah, right. So how can you be both female and male in the same body? That doesn't make any sense. I would imagine it doesn't make any sense to a lesbian female who's only attracted to females. Because, I mean, if you've got a male that identifies as non-binary, does that mean that lesbian will do something with that male person who's non-binary? I don't think so. Yeah, because she's going to be looking at him as a whole male person. She's not going to be looking at him as, oh, yeah, he's female too. Right. I don't think so.
No.
Right?
Not at all. It's just confusion on top of confusion on top of confusion with that. I mean...
It is really crazy. Just the whole thing about the whole gender debate is really, really funny to me as well. And do you know what, as well, actually, just before I move on from that as well, I have to say, I was checking out a couple of things because I think they said there's a difference between sex and gender, right? Which I think is a bit strange when you try and separate the two, right? When you have sex and gender. And I was looking at the, there's an interesting website called, well, it's what do you call it? Sex determination in forensic identification, right? And it just goes through different types of ways that say if you it's a way that they try to identify the remains of a body that is not really easily identifiable. So they try to identify the sex or the gender of the deceased body, right? And there are so many methods that scientists use to determine who is male and who is female. I mean, things that you just can't hide. You know, they do it with sort of like a root length and crown diameter, right? Just one for instance. The root length and crown diameter, it says sex determination can be performed with 80% accuracy by measuring root length and crown diameter, right? Can you imagine that? So whatever anyone says about how they identify this gender or that gender, I guess it probably doesn't matter because the science says that you are one, either male or female. So it doesn't matter what's going on in someone's head. The science is actually going to say different.
Oh, I was on mute. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's, you know, it's interesting to try to wrap your head around all that stuff. And one thing that I picked up in the video, he knows it's confusing. He keeps saying, I know it's confusing. This may be a little, he knows it. And yeah, he kept saying, exactly. So, I mean, you know, So, you know,
it's a bit worrying because obviously you have the whole white supremacist system to deal with already,
right?
And then this even more kind of racial I don't know how we'd call it this now, racial identification confusion,
right? Right. I mean,
probably in a different, really strange.
It's just different waging war in a new way. That's just my conclusion on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an interesting character, and you know, years later down the line, he'll be a champion.
Yeah. Interestingly, I've seen quite a few Koreans. I'll say people who identify as Koreans. So the purpose is, right, Koreans, what we the world would traditionally know as Koreans, have done quite a few videos of concerning the whole Ollie London subject, and most of them seem to be quite disgusted with the whole thing, about how he can say that he's had surgery to get the quote-unquote Korean look, etc. A lot of them, as far as I can see, a lot of Koreans, a lot of people classified as Korean are really not having it with in regards to Ollie London. They're really not having what he's selling, so to speak.
Yeah, he might, like I said, he might be 10 years a little too early, but you know, well, like, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, they eventually come around to it or whatnot. It'd just be interesting to watch this whole little ordeal.
Certainly will be. Certainly will be. I don't intend to identify as white anytime soon.
Right. Just a victim. Just that's the name of the act. The name. Just another victim.
Another victim. Yeah. Exactly.
Just transitioning a bit. Last week or, you know, a few weeks ago, there was something that hit social media, and it was a slave-themed wedding. So the article that I read on it, it had a lot of comments from supposedly black people, you know, on Twitter responding to, you know, the picture, and, you know, just lots of... it wasn't from the eyes of a... attempted counter race, that they wasn't looking at things in the context of white supremacy. So from what I took from it was, it's actually actual depiction of the power dynamic between white and non-white. That's how I looked at it. They were just replicating that through the wedding pictures, so-called wedding pictures, whatever you want to call those. So, and I didn't see no one with that perspective, which was interesting. But what would your thoughts on that slave theme wedding?
I think that's exactly what you just said there. I think Neely Fuller Jr., Dr. Francis Cress-Wilson would say, it does highlight a lot of the confusion that a lot of non-white people have still in the system of racism, white supremacy, in how we look at this whole subject of what's happening to us, the state of us, like what it's done to our minds. There's probably about, I think, what was Dr. Frances Cress-Wilson saying? I think she was saying it's like about 90%, probably even higher than that, about the amount of non-white people who are still confused about what racism is and how it works. And that so-called slave wedding picture is a perfect example of that. Because like you said, I never saw that either. I didn't, when I first saw that, I thought this is an accurate representation of the status of black people today in a system of racism, white supremacy. And I think most non-white people became uncomfortable with the fact that that's what was portrayed. Now, yes, the black male is severely, well, appears to be severely confused in that picture. The black fiance of the white female, or that, should I just say, the slave of the white female?
Right.
Right. So I look at that. It's really not even really for me about the so-called wedding or anything like that. It's just the relationship. It's just how we are in relation to all white people. We're all slaves to white people. At the end of the day, we don't have the same rights as white people in the system of race and white supremacy. And I think this is what made a lot of non-white people, especially black people, really, really uncomfortable with that picture. And I saw quite a few reviews on YouTube about that and various different parts of the internet about that, where lots of non-white people were just couldn't wait to name call this confused black person. Couldn't wait to name call this guy. He's a coon, he's a sellout, he's a this and he's a that. And I thought, wow, perfect. White supremacists must be real happy about that. They must be so, so, so happy. This is the thing that most of us haven't learned. And it's really that really saddens me a lot, because that's one of the cornerstones of white supremacy. You got white supremacists on one side, you got black people, slaves on the other side, and all they do really is just pick a handful of non-white people, confuse them, put them in between them and us, and say, right, now go attack these people that I've confused instead of coming at me, right? Yeah, these white supremacists are just safe there. I just think, wow, it's so sad. If only more black people really understood that. This is just the plan. I mean, and also, if you look at this particular picture, I mean, the person who's most to blame there, obviously, is the white female. I mean, what the hell is she doing? Right. What the hell is this white female doing taking this type of picture with this victim of white supremacy? She must have known the kind of backlash that this black male was going to get from everybody. She must have known, and she's willing to put him through that type of. She's willing to put him through that. I mean, that's disgusting in my opinion. That white female, deadly, right. Deadly, deadly, deadly white females. Right. I can't remember who said white females do it best, basically.
Right. Just to add on to that, there was no critique, I didn't see one comment like even calling her a racist for even agreeing to do this. The article could have just took all, and that's very possible too, they could have took everything that black people said, but even when I seen it on certain people's pages, there was nothing about the white woman. There was, and she's the one most to blame for that.
Interestingly, did you see at the top of most of the non-white people who made commentary about this? I don't know if you noticed this. I'd say probably about 90% of the coverage on this, I saw the non-white person before they even started their commentary on the thing. It was, you love who you love. You love who you love. But blah blah blah. It was always that type of commentary, right. Just to say, and I would think what I took away from that is, hey, I'm involved in a sexual relationship with a white female.
Or I desire,
so or desire to have, or I desire to have that. So I'm not shitting on anybody else who wants to have any relationship with a white female. Mm-hmm. Just for the record, right? I approve this message, but I just don't want to actually see the change, right? We've got chains on us, but we don't actually want to see the change,
right?
Yeah, because it will make us, for the non-white people that I had, and I mean, a couple of things that I posted on Instagram, which I won't mention the non-white people who did message me privately, who were really a little bit angry with the stuff that I had to say about it. And, they were angry about it, saying, like, oh, come on now. We're not really slaves right now. You can't really think that. You're making a kind of like analogy. You don't really think that, do you? I was just pointing out, it's either we have a system of racism, white supremacy, where we're dominated and mistreated in economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war, or we don't. It's literally that simple.
Right.
Either we have it or we don't have it. If we do, then we're slaves. If we don't, then we're not.
Right. You know, to those people too, one thing I would say is, you know, slavery isn't just about chains and whips and stuff like that. You can be, you know, just the definition of a slave would seem to be mistreated. You're mistreated. And, you know, just by statistics and, you know, your observations, black people are currently mistreated. I mean, it's not the chattel slavery type of deal, but we are still mistreated on almost every on every level. So, I mean, just don't think about slavery in types and as far as, you know, in chains, physically in chains, you know, not being able to, you know, look a white person in the eye or, you know, reckless eyeballing, whatever you may call it. I mean, the system has evolved. You know, we are still being mistreated. So just,
yeah,
I think that would help out if we just didn't look at things, okay, this was this time. Slavery is just this, being locked in chains and, you know, being forced to work in a cornfield and, you know, pick cotton and whatnot.
I think it's really sad. There's a lot of non-white people. Like I said, down through the through the whole of my life actually, but in relation to this particular topic, the name calling has just been off the hook. It's been so bad. So one of the 10 stops that Nidhi puts to, like, stop name calling. I think that's so important. And most, which are, you know, most non-white people, quite a lot of prominent non-white people who usually, you know, a lot of black people look up to, like quite prominent social media commentators, etc. The amount of name calling and the amount of just encouragement, they just encourage a lot of other non-white people to just name call these other confused victims of racism, white supremacy. I just think, well, you know, the one question is, does that white female have more rights than her black fiancé? It's either yes or no.
Right.
And most non-white people that are asked that question, they all, even the ones that are kind of in support of this whole thing, they usually say, well, yeah, the white female has more rights, or white people in general have more rights than black people in a system of white supremacy. But then they go on after and say, well, no, all you have to do is stop there. That's it. There's no more to it. Exactly. So yeah, it's a lot of confusion, lot of confusion.
Yeah. You know, just to pivot, because this kind of fits into what, you know, happened yesterday. I won't give out names. So I commented on a popular scholar's post, and he was basically insinuating that using the word white supremacy is oppressing us, is reinforcing black inferiority. So I made a comment on it, you know, just kind of explaining, just because you're in a supreme position doesn't mean that people are, you know, inherently better than black people. That's not what that's saying. It's just a description of the system. There was some guy, I don't know him, but apparently he's somebody. So he's a martial arts guy. So he was basically like, well, I'm not oppressed. I'm not, you know, inferior, this, that, and the third. So I click on this page just to kind of, and it's just nothing but, you know, white friends and hugged up with white women, white buddies. I mean, just, so I said, okay, there's a level of confusion. So I kind of know how to approach him. So, I said, yeah, you yourself may be in a great position, but that doesn't speak to the masses of black people. I said, so I asked him a few questions. I said, is there a school to prison pipeline? Do we still have mass incarceration? Is there a wealth gap? So I just started going down the list, and, you know, he didn't really answer the question. Kind of sidestepped it, basically, like, you know, well, I'm not this. I don't have these problems. But that's not the matter. I'm speaking for black people. Like, there's a issue with, and a lot of black people, I think that's where we go wrong. We try to separate ourselves from the whole group. Like, well, I don't have these troubles with white people. I'm respectful to law enforcement, so I don't have these issues. And you just try to separate yourself, and it's not beneficial to understanding the system as a whole. Every black person doesn't have to go through a particular situation to be not affected by it. I mean, your cousin may be affected, your uncle, your nephew, your aunt. So, you know, I think, you know, if we can kind of nail that, if we can kind of find a way to help victims and stop personalizing their, even if it doesn't apply to you, just look around you. How many black people does it actually affect? And I think that would go a long ways. So I just kind of want the, because that kind of fit into what you were saying as far as, you know, with the other victims.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Francis Crosswell used to say, it's white intent, system of white supremacy is on one side, white intention, and what is it, white intention and black self-hatred on the other side. So in terms of, this is what a lot of black people I find seem to have a hard time wrapping our heads around, as in person-to-person racism and system-to-person racism. They can't seem to wrap their heads around the fact that this is why you'll see, I don't know, like say a white homeless person still call a black person with a PhD who's got a massive mansion, he'll still call that black person a nigger.
Right.
Because he knows white supremacy is a team sport. Right? He knows it doesn't matter about him as an individual. He knows you belong to that group of the oppressed people, and he's not part of you. He could be a tramp all day long, but he knows that you are still a victim of racism, white supremacy. And he knows it's a team sport. He knows what group he belongs to, and he knows what group you belong to. And white supremacy, it works on percentages, doesn't it, really, at the end of the day? So you might have a handful of rich black people, a handful of rich black entertainers, but that's not representative of black people as a group.
Correct.
And lots of black people. I think that's probably, and you know what, actually, I kind of spin it back on to say, like, people say who are less confused. I'm still confused about racism, but I understand it a little more than I did a long time ago, many years ago. And I'd say it's probably a failure of people like me to convey the message in a more, in a less confusing way to other non-white people, probably. I kind of lay the blame sometimes at people, because people who are less confused, I guess, probably are supposed to be going about the problem of solving this system. And part of that is probably trying to deliver other non-white people out of their confusion, right. I'd say probably. Yeah, so we have quite a big responsibility there. And so, you know, and white supremacy doesn't take days off, I guess.
Not at all.
And, you know, and they're steadily confusing non-white people on a daily, minute by minute, hour by hour, daily basis, right? So, yeah, it's a real hard thing, because I mean, you think as long as we've been victims, we still don't get that.
Right.
We still don't understand racism as a system, like you were saying earlier, and we still don't understand that the first order of call is to get is on the white supremacist part is to get other non-white people that we can battle against instead of battling against them. Those two things, you know, we're still, yeah, confusion, like you say, lots and lots of confusion. Yeah. if only we just weren't name calling each other, right. And that would make me a lot happier.
And that's kind of what I want to tie in, but I went off on a tangent when I was talking to the victim on the post. There was someone else that came in and said, oh, you know, brought up the fact, oh, you think you're, you know, this and that because you have all the white friends, and he start the name call, and I started to message him let's not, but it's social media, so I just, hey, just, you know, all right, do what you do, but I just don't, it makes me cringe every time, you know, I see, you know, a name call, or it's getting hostile, you know, for, you know, no particular reason, you know, just, you can go more than one road to get to the point you need to get to. That's just,
it's so strange as well, actually, just to it's so strange. A lot of thanks to that film, Get Out a little while ago, there's lots of black people, when they see a confused black person, somebody who's quite confused about their role in a white supremacist system or their status in a white supremacist system, they usually quote that film as an insult to the black person about, hey, you must be in the sunken place.
Right.
In terms of, and I think, but you know that in the sunken place, the guy was hypnotized. He was actually confused. Correct. It wasn't correct. Voluntary, right? So if you know that that's what happened, that the white supremacists are the ones who are most to blame, why are you blaming the person who was hypnotized? I mean, you know, it's just the ability sometimes that a lot of us have. We're very emotional, like Neely Fuller says, and we don't just step back and use a bit of logic and say, well, these people are orchestrating that. They're orchestrating that. And like Neely Fuller says, they can make them faster than you can ever break them.
Oh my!
Right? You know, you can get rid of those sellouts as much as you like, and in about 2 months, you're going to have 10 more. For every one you get rid of, you're going to have 10 more so-called sellouts. Right, so
I don't mean to cut you off because it takes me.
No,
back.
Go.
It takes me back to another conversation when I had with I guess he's somebody on social media. So he did a video, basically, going hard at, you know, the black faces, right? The Tariqs, the Umars, the Polites. He just kind of just went hard just on he was just mad. So, he made a comment about, he started talking violence and stuff like that. So that's when I just, okay, I got a comment now to try to, I just have to let my feelings be known about this. So, you know, his justification for the violence thing was, you know, black men killed Malcolm X. And, you know, so I'm like, hold on, let's hold on.
Yeah.
And, you know, this person claims to be well-read, Dr. Wells and Frantz Fanon and all that good stuff. So,
really?
Aside,
okay.
Yeah. So I said, you know, you're a smart guy. I said, and you know your history. And you know that that was orchestrated by, white supremacists. I said, you're kind of falling for the same trick by attacking these black people in public. You know, just opening the door for them to exploit how they did with those guys. He was obviously upset because of, you know, the tone of the video. He explained that he had a rough day and all that stuff like that. Mm. And so I just kind of left it at that. I said, you know, I respect your opinion, but, you know, we just shouldn't put our issues on Front Street. So he responded, surprisingly. And he was saying, oh, you know, that's old logic and, you know, I'm taught to go hard on my enemies and, you know, he said, these are not issues. This is the truth. So I was like, you know, it may seem old or archaic logic because we keep doing the same things, getting the same results. I said, basically the same thing you said. I said, doesn't it make sense? We're in a system that produces the people that you're mad at. I said,
exactly.
I said, we're in a system that produces it. Wouldn't it make more sense to destroy the machine that produces it instead of the actual? And I got no response.
Exactly.
So I think I hit my mark with that comment. And, So
it's funny. Usually you see the individual you're talking about. Usually people like that, they have a real problem discerning enemy and opponent, right? Like Neely Fuller was saying, enemy and opponent is not the same thing. There are some non-white people who've been set up by the white supremacists to be our opponents, but we should never forget that the reason they're being confused is because they've been confused. They didn't come out the womb confused. Right. They've been confused. So, and I think just to get down to brass tacks here, a lot of what I find with a lot of these non-white males, just non-white people, black people in general, males and females, who go hard, quote-unquote, go hard at these, quote-unquote, sellouts. Like Dr. Francis Crest-Wilson used to say, the bottom line is black people are afraid of white people. And that's what we need to come to terms with. Black people as a group are afraid of white people. They'd rather go at these black people that have no power like ourselves, rather than going at, like you said, the machine who's churning out these confused non-white people, because we're afraid of white people. We know that there's consequences going at these white people. Right. So you'd rather say, oh, let's just go at these confused non-white people. But, it's the fear. It's the fear that has that. You know, that's why sometimes you look at your page and you see you're going at the white supremacists. You look at a lot of these other people's pages and they're going at other victims.
Right.
Like, why are you going at these other victims for?
Right.
Is it because you know that you're probably, you can say anything about black people on social media and they'll leave your page up there.
Right.
If you try and say, if you try and go too hard, you'll get a lot of warnings and eventually, like I say.
Right. Why I started trying to use, you know, letters to spell out instead of, you know, just saying racist white supremacists. I may, you know, introduce it, but from there on, I may abbreviate it. You know, because, you know, you get these strikes, people report, because when I make a comment, oh, this comment similar has been reported. And I'm like, well, I didn't really say anything. But so I started trying to abbreviate to try to codify my language. And just so I can, because that's been a thing. It's like, since I started this show, that has been a thing with me that, the attacks have came from, or the critiques have came from black people, which it still boggles my mind. It's like, I'm like, why? I said, I don't talk about other black people in a negative manner. So how can your critique come to me about what I'm doing? I'm going after, you know,
and inadvertently, I think we've kind of segued right into the baby thing, because in terms of being afraid of white people, I think that was really illustrated in the DaBaby's comments recently, with a lot of non-white people really being afraid of going at the white people, like well-known, quite famous white people who were condemning DaBaby for his comments. And I think you guys are really showing how afraid you are of white people. Like on the Cows program, where Gus says the problem is white people.
Right.
Right. And just the kind of way, like how a lot of non-white people were afraid at challenging people like Madonna and Elton John, because we know a lot of non-white people know that if you do that, then you're going to get a whole lot of hell. Probably it's going to come at you and say, like, how dare you say blah, blah, blah. I mean, there was one or two things. There's one guy on my social, I'll send you the message under my thing that I said about Madonna. Mm-hmm. In response to her, DaBaby's comments, comments about what DaBaby said, and the non-white person messaged me on that and said, "How could you say that about? It's something about we need unity or something." I said about like her comments towards DaBaby and his comments recently. I said, "Well, you know, I think maybe Madonna could be a suspected. I mean, she's suspected white supremacist." Right. And in view of some of the things she said down through the years, where she quote unquote buys her children from, etc., right? What she hasn't said in regard to white supremacy down through the years.
Right.
Right. She's done more to harm black people than DaBaby ever could.
And right? We can take it back to even her being sexually involved with non-white people such as Tupac and, you know, Haitian Jack allegedly and stuff like that.
So, maximum racist aggression. Yeah. Right. Having sex with slaves under a system of racism, white supremacy, having sex with someone that doesn't have the same rights as you in a system of racism, white supremacy. You see, these are the things that a lot of black people don't want to come to terms with, because we know by calling these white people out, when they come to, you know, and obviously black male misandry is, you know, it's a thing that never gets old, you know. it's so acceptable to bash black men in public. It's so acceptable. I look at what that guy said, and whether I agree with what he said or not, right? I don't agree with name calling, and I don't agree with what he said. I can imagine probably if you are a member of the LGBTQ community, quote unquote, you might be offended at what he said. But then context is so much more important to me. Context of racism, white supremacy. We're trying to say that the baby's comments has done so much to harm people. I mean, I can't remember the exact quote. I don't know if you have the exact quote of what the baby said. Have you got the exact quote of what he said? To hand, I haven't got his exact quote of what he said.
I can pull it up, right? Because I was just looking at it, but it's on my other phone.
He said in terms of something to do with
give me one second.
people that have AIDS or something like that, or that you can die in about 2 weeks or something. It's offhand silly
weeks.
Comment. Yeah, offhand silly comment, basically.
Right.
And I think, but there's lots of white people who have said more things about people that have AIDS. Loads of white people have said things like that. I remember Eminem has said loads of things in terms of people that have AIDS. And then Elton John.
Right. Yes.
And Elton John did a song with Elton.
And held
so
his
if you
hand.
Say something like that and you... Yeah. So if you say something like that and you... Exactly. If you say something like that and you come out and then you apologize, then apparently you're forgiven, right? All's well and you're forgiven and you're welcome back into the fold. So how come, why isn't it the same for black men then if we say something like that? If a right. black male says something like that a white person, again, it's not the same because we're in a system of racism and white supremacy where black male misandry is acceptable. Eminem, right? I was pulling up some of the things that Eminem has said down through the year. There's an open mic session, that well-known open mic session, where he said, there's a couple of his lines where he says, are you afraid of a blade made of a razor with AIDS blood dripping from it, ripping your stomach up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You afraid of a blade made... YouTube that he did with D12. It's a track called Get Back. Anyone's welcome to go and find this track. It's still up there. And he says, quote, my fucking dad's gay and I'm fucking mad I don't have AIDS. Mm. This is Eminem,
right?
On a track that he did with D12.
Right.
So if it's acceptable for Eminem to say, he did a whole track, right? Not offhand comments in a show. He did a whole track, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said numerous things. Loads of white people have said numerous things, and they're not quote unquote cancelled. And I'm not even going to go into the racist tapes that Eminem has.
I posted those.
Right?
Yeah.
this broadcast is too short
right.
to go into the amount of transgressions that Eminem has made against black people, and it's still acceptable where black people have quote-unquote forgiven Eminem and a lot of other white people the stuff that they say against us. But let a non-white person say something against white people or against LGBTQ community, all of a sudden it's, oh my god, oh, it's so horrible, how dare this black person say this kind of stuff. It's crazy.
So I have the quote actually pulled up. I'm just going to read it just so who haven't heard it, verbatim, here it is. If you didn't show up today with HIV, AIDS, or any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases that'll make you die in 2 to 3 weeks, then put your cell phone light in the air, he said. Ladies, if your pussy smells like water, put a cell phone lighter in the air. Fellas, if you ain't suck a nigga dick in the parking lot, put your cell phone lights in the air. Keep it fucking real. In the quote, hip hop is, entertainment industry, and it's full of, that type of language. I mean, it's been going on forever. You play it on the radio, it's no problem when, they're talking about killing a black male and, you know, gunning somebody down. I mean, it's no problem. Right. I mean, you'll go into McDonald's and you'll hear this music. You'll hear it in family actual places, these type of music. Maybe they may blur it out, but you can catch what they're saying. I mean, just places that shouldn't be, you know, playing that type of stuff. But when it comes down to, you know, that, I mean, hey, it's the industry, you know.
A lot of black people, a lot of white people and black people have no problems listening to other black people talking about killing black people every single day, talking about, you know, black people taking drugs, etc., etc., etc. No problem black people talking about taking drugs. No problem with, I don't know, black people. No problem with, say, a group of white record executives hiring another confused black male to have, you know, other black males twerking and dancing in prison naked, right? No problems with having a video like that. That's one of the most racist music videos ever. And yet I'm referring to Lil Nas X's, jail time, I don't know what that is, jail time, plantation, prison dance, or whatever. That was the most racist type of video. And you got a lot of white people, no problem with that. And a lot of black people, no problem with that. Making fun out the fact that black people are funneled into prison all over the world. Mm-hmm. No problems with that whatsoever. But they have such a massive problem with a few offhand comments that the baby said. I mean, system of white supremacy, definitely. Right. Got system white supremacy written all over it. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Yeah, and Little Nas, I just kind of, because there's enough chatter about that. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, with that situation.
And like, right? I said, I don't blame Little Nas X for a second.
He's funded. He's funded exactly. By somebody. Someone paid for that video. Someone shot that video. There were many more other white hands in charge of that. So, you know, you can get
Can you imagine how many other non-white artists are probably on that record label, want to be on that record label, who have a lot of constructive stuff to say, but they'll just pick someone who they know is a bit confused, and they'll just say, yep, get out there, do your thing. And we'll fund you, we'll give you loads and loads of money, et cetera. And then again, like the last subject we were discussing, then, you know, some non-white people will be, you know, influenced and encouraged to bash the black male, the confused black male. Cycle repeats itself.
Right. His response, it is what, I mean, he's a victim. I mean, he's engaging in anti-sex activity. I mean, how much more could I, you know, really take him, you know, serious with? But, I had a few notes on that Elton John, Madonna thing. Let me go back to him. Flat out, those was act of racism that Elton John and Madonna. Elton John said, this is a quote, "We must spread compassion and love for the most marginalized people in our community." Really? At the moment? Really? I mean, that's an act of racism. I mean, that's just racism, right? I mean, come on. And black people get...
We must spread compassion, what? To the most marginalized people
in our community. We must spread compassion and love. I didn't hear you say anything about, you know, what's going on with black people. I mean, they're very, we're very marginalized. I mean,
apparently he's not so active on social media, but he felt compelled to come out and say something about the baby's comment.
Right.
And compassion for non-white people. He didn't have that much compassion for non-white people in South Africa under apartheid when he was performing there.
Right.
Right. He didn't have any compassion for non-white people. When did this epiphany start, Elton John?
Right.
Where you have such compassion for non-white people. It didn't stop you. I mean, were non-white people victims of a system of white supremacy in South Africa? We're still victims of it now. But, you know, in South Africa, apartheid, where was his sympathy then?
Right.
I don't know. This is
actual racism. Going back, Madonna said, AIDS is not transmitted by standing next to someone in a crowd. And at that point, when I first read that, you know, when I heard about it, with the baby's comments, I didn't hear that he even said that. So I had to go back and check. Did he actually even say that, you know, AIDS can be transmitted by standing next to someone? He didn't even say that. So why you, I mean, that's another act of racism. And
exactly.
And he didn't even insinuate that. He was like, you know, if you haven't, just put your cell phone lighter in the air. And Questlove, give him VGQ. He's a victim. And I'll leave it at that. And
VGQ. The questions I would just have for Madonna and Elton John is, what are you doing to eliminate a system of racism, white supremacy? And I wouldn't help them with the answer, and I'll just want to hear what they have to say. Madonna, you know, what were you doing helping the villages in, I can't remember where she bought her children from. But what were you doing? What exactly are you doing to help the situation
right, for
black people over there? What are you doing to eliminate that system of race and white supremacy? I don't want to hear what you've got to say about the baby. I want to know what you're doing to help black people, if you're concerned.
And also, you know, the kids that she adopted, they appear to be, at least one of them, appears to be engaged in anti-sexual activity. So, you know, topple that with, you know, her sexual
exploits. Isn't that strange?
It's racism. White supremacy.
Well, I mean, when I said straight, I mean, like the prevalence. Well, I'd love to. I mean, there's no data, I guess, no official data anyway on this, where white people adopting, so-called adopting white non-white children, especially black children, and those children growing up to be so-called LGBTQ. There's no official data, but I'd love there to be some sort of official data on that, some sort of official count on what happens to these non-white people in these adoption scenarios, where most of them, as far as I can see, they usually do grow up one quite confused. I mean, we're all confused, but I mean, they do usually grow up to be some sort of LGBTQ kind of identified, which is real strange. I mean, Madonna's children, Charlize Theron, quite a few non-white children in these so-called adoption scenarios. It's really strange. But yeah, I'd like to, like I said, I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head here. There's no official data, and I'd admit that there's no official data on that, but it would be really interesting. I think it would be quite revealing, actually. And then we'd have to ask, why is it? Because I suspect that it's quite prevalent. And then the question would be, why is it? Is it because these non-white people in these kind of scenarios, they want to be closer to white society, or they're trying to scream psychologically that I'm different? Mm-hmm. I'm different to everybody else or something? It could be. But like, I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know, so... Yeah, but
yeah, it's really interesting to you know, look into. That's really interesting to try to check into. And I'll just get into the baby's response and we can transition to the last subject. So he apparently had a series of posts, but one that, you know, jumped out to me was, which was really, I think, codified. He said, "My apologies for being me, the same way you want the freedom to be you." And I missed a line. He said, "Don't fight hate with hate. My apologies for being me, the same way you want the freedom to be you." I mean, that there you go, because the comments in there was just, you know, like, you don't want to be talked to in that manner, but you would do the same thing to him when he says something that you don't like. So I like that response, because there was a lot of, you know, venom and name calling.
Yeah.
So, but you don't want no one to call you the F word, or, you know, the things that he's saying, you know. So lead by example to those people. So, apparently T.I. tried to, you know, back him up, but there's only so much you're going to be able to do when you're in that entertainment industry, when it's ran. I mean, this whole plantation is ran by racism, but, you know, that specific industry, I mean, you're not going to get that far without white people. So kind of got to bow down and watch your words. I mean, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately.
He was definitely misguided to have made the comments that he made. But at the end of the day, like I say, when you look at it in context about what is happening to black people all over the world as victims of racism, white supremacy, that's just small potatoes. As far as I'm concerned, right. I'm just not trying to hear about these so-called bad comments that the baby has made. Okay, they're bad, but come on now. These white bystanders who say they're not racist but yet are not doing anything to eliminate a system of race and white supremacy. I mean, yeah.
So we can transition to the last subject, which is, you know, very underreported in what I've been seeing. And this is
extremely underreported, especially over here.
Over here, I mean, it was it's unexplainable to me, but well, it is. It is explainable, but we're talking about Ed Buck, the big Democratic donor who was recently found guilty of running a drug den or something like that when he was engaged in anti-sex behavior with homeless black males, desperate black males, and two of them actually died of a drug overdose at his house, and he wasn't at least convicted of that. I don't even think he was charged for that. So kind of wonder what happens, you know, just to those bodies. Mm-hmm. Black male privilege, maybe, but that was a real interesting case. And just to fill my notes on that, was immediately there's a power dynamic right there. You see it. These black males were living in a tent, homeless, you know, down on their luck. And you had this millionaire, a white guy, just, you know, come on over. I give you a few bucks to prance around and white underwear. And that's like something I wish Dr. Wilson was here to kind of explain that. What's the significance?
Ooh, can you imagine? Oh, wow.
What's the significance of them? They have to be in white underwear. I mean, what's the significance behind that? That would have been an excellent.
Her insights into that as a psychologist definitely would have been really interesting. Wow.
Right. That's like, wow. Why does they have to be in white underwear? But so some of my notes. He had them invite these guys over to smoke meth, prance around in underwear for $200, which is a real small amount of money, I guess. And the name, there was, you know, a lot of Wellesley moments. The name of the encampment where one of these victims stayed at was called Devil's Dip. I mean, that's a heck of a name. How does, you know, an encampment get the name Devil's Dip? I maybe need to look up the history. How did they get that name? Devil's Dip. That's a heck of a name. So one of the prosecutors described this as walking through the gates of hell. he wasn't demonized like that. I mean, there was no media covering it like the gates of hell. I just imagine if this type of stuff was going on with a black person.
Yeah. That's the first question I posed. I was thinking, imagine if Ed Buck was a black male.
Yeah.
Also,
and the neighbors, it was reported in here that the neighbors, they said this was a daily occurrence. Guys walking out of house in a drunken stupor. And that's a quote. I mean, can you, a black guy in the neighborhood, and white men are stumbling out of the house on a daily basis. And I'm pretty sure he didn't live in no impoverished environment. You know, just imagine O.J. Simpson had just having people walking out of his house. Come on, imagine that.
And I guess in OJ's case, it would have been white females. So right. We have to look at it as it. Can you imagine if that many white females? Right. People are looking at this as, because obviously it's Ed Buck's sexuality. So you're looking at non-black males. But then imagine if, like you said, OJ Simpson, with that many white females staggering out of the house. The amount of questions that would have been asked, wow.
They would have raided the house. But, the dude had, like, so much evidence. They said he had hundreds of videos of, you know, black males in the nude and white underwear smoking, injecting meth and stuff like that. And when they, you know, raided his computer, I think he had over 1,500 videos and photos of like these so-called party sessions. That doesn't seem like a party to me, but he has so much. And
it's one person's party is another person's plantation, right?
And I need to get these victims' names out, because one is, I believe, is Gamal Moore. He was 26, and the other deceased black male was Timothy Dean, and he was 55 years old. So I do want to put their names on record, because a lot of times black male, this already isn't getting reported enough, and you know they're not mentioning it. It's more or less, you know, swept under the rug. And another interesting fact: he was one of the Electoral College members in California in 2016. So you have these type of guys participating in your voting process, your ultimate. These are like the Electoral College are creme de la creme of, you know, voting. So, you know, think about that, non-white people, when you're voting, you have, you know, Ed Bucks in there, you know, voting, you know, casting the vote. So.
And what does he think of black people? Knowing now what we know about what he thought of black people, right, or what he still thinks of black people, and he had that much influence over black people's lives. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so, wow. And they describe he had a wall-long red cloth with flaming skull patterns. I mean,
yeah.
Like, that symbolizes death, man. That's what that means. Skulls, that's death, and like just the symbolism within all this whole thing. Another thing I would want to ask Dr. Wells, and he had them blowing the smoke into their underwear and just like had smoke. Like I need a psychologist to kind of explain, you know, what are the symbolism
like,
behind
why,
that?
Yeah. Why? Yeah,
there's a lot of weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really strange. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I was thinking. I just couldn't make it no sense of that. I have no idea. And there's a lot of the media is not reporting on. Like these aspects, that if I didn't read some of these articles for myself, I would have never actually seen like some of these aspects of the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, they're not talking about him like that. They're not. they're leaving out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and his attorney, I just thought this was significant, was Chris Darden, because we brought up OJ a little while ago. So Chris Darden is his attorney, and I'll just say it's funny that he always appears to be on the wrong side of, you know, history, because...
Coincidence, right?
You have the Ed Buck situation, and then he... was defending Eric Holder, the alleged killer of Nipsey Hussle. He came out of retirement to defend him. And, you know, the OJ said, I mean, he just seems to be always on the wrong side or taking the wrong side of a major issue between with black people, not between, but with black people. So VGQ to him too. You know, I just want to. Just
VGQ to him. I think it's definitely interesting, like you say, that Ed Buck had Chris Darden is chosen by a lot of white supremacists to represent this type of anything that has anything that, let's say, black people as a group would rile against, then they usually do have Chris Darden there as the opposing voice.
Right.
Quite interesting. Yeah.
He really gets a lot of victims riled up once they see him, because his symbolism to the black community just isn't a good one. So we're already filled with anti-blackness. So just add Chris Darden and we will just go to town. And one thing that stuck out to me was just the desperation, man, these guys some of them weren't even drug addicts or didn't get down with those type of drugs. The power, I started off with the power dynamic. You see the desperation, the power dynamic for these guys to, get into these drugs and start doing this stuff. Cause there was one victim in here who said, he didn't mess around with meth at all. He said, but he got so desperate that he went ahead and did it. He was, very adamant against it, but at times it got so hard, he just went ahead and did it. And, that really stuck out, the desperation that, what people do in desperate times. And, my favorite part of this whole article, the quote that he said, "I don't need another dead nigger on my couch." That was my favorite. I said, "There you go. Just say it plain. Don't say, people of color, make it plain. You don't want another dead nigger on your couch."
I love it when white supremacists are honest like that.
Right. Like when I posted that direct message that white guy said to me, he said, "Get me, nigger," or something like that. He said to me, and it was I love it. I love it. Just be direct. And surprisingly enough, he ended up calling me a nigger over this situation, the Ed Buck situation. it's all good. Just winding down on my notes. He used that word. More than another black male heard him, routinely use the word nigger. So, and one of the text messages that I was kind of weird, because I don't think they released all the information. I guess one of the victims says, he needs to stop. He needs to be more responsible. He says, "I'm ruining my life hanging out with you." And he says, "Swallowing dozens of Viagra." So I'm thinking like, well, was there, more to this? Was there actual sexual stuff going on? But that was never reported. So I don't know if they're, hiding that fact, but I think that would be
things. What's that? You mean one of the victims of Ed Buck you're talking about?
Right, right.
In a couple of the articles, there's quite a few, I think, of the black males where I think one of them that were one of the survivors, where talking about how he woke up with some bleeding to his rectum or like that, or pain. Yeah. He was basically drugging them and raping them. That's what Ed Buck was definitely doing. Them and raping them. And I think it's really interesting with, because the obvious thing recently with Bill Cosby.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Bill Cosby has nothing on Ed Buck.
Right.
And nothing.
You think he just started this a year or two ago?
I mean, can you imagine? Ed Buck apparently has been doing this for decades, right? He's apparently known in the area as Dr. Kevorkian.
Oh, wow.
Right? That's what he's there. In another article, he's talking about how he's known. So he's known definitely among the non-white gay community, black gay community. Ed Buck apparently was very, very well known among black gay community in that area as, Dr. Death, Dr. Kevorkian, etc. A white male who would pay you to do all different types of debaucherous stuff, etc. And I think it's really interesting where, Bill Cosby said that he admitted to using drugs with white people, not on white women, not even the Andrea Constan, I think is her name, one of the main ones there, who accused Bill Cosby of wrongdoing. And even she said it wasn't even a sex drug. I think she said he gave her Benadryl.
Right.
Or something. Right. Right.
Right. The girls were examining and stuff, and they took it on their own free will.
They took it on their own free will, right? And you think to yourself, there are people, all billions of people around the world right now as we're conducting this broadcast, who are voluntarily using drugs with each other whilst having sex.
Right. Right.
Damn. Loads and loads of people. Using drugs with someone you're having sex with is not something that human beings have no awareness of.
Right.
So this whole thing with that, you know, and so in relation to that, with the Ed Buck situation and using drugs against their will, these people would not have voluntarily went to Ed Buck unless they were really desperate. And and according to all of the reporting, even white supremacists reporting on this matter with Ed Buck, all of his victims were desperate people who would never have went to his house voluntarily if they weren't in such a desperate situation. So he exploited the fact that they were desperate. And another important thing there as well is that, which a lot of reporting gets missed on, is that a lot of his victims were not homosexual.
Right. Yeah, that's
apparently a lot of his victims were not homosexuals. So they were what you call, quote unquote, gay for pay, right? They were only there because they were desperate, and they only used drugs because they were desperate. They weren't all drug addicts.
If you can, okay.
His decision to go to Ed Buck's apartment for whatever reason. And you know, if you say they made a conscious decision, it's conscious decision. They make good choices, doesn't it? Depending on your situation. And so when I look at that situation, like you say, the desperation of these black males, and just to imagine that if you're not that way inclined as well, if you don't identify as a member of the gay community, etc., and you're that desperate that you'll go with this white guy, this white rich man who knows that you're that desperate, you're homeless, you've got no money, you've got no food, and he's going to give you $100 or $200.
Exactly.
I mean, I can imagine. Can we imagine the amount? If he's been doing this for decades, is this the are these the only two black males that this guy's killed?
Exactly.
I don't. You know, these are only the two victims that we know about. But I mean, I'm just surmising that he must have been doing. Since he's been doing this for decades, he must have done this to loads, and he's probably killed a lot of black males and covered up the bodies that we don't know. Like I said, I don't know if that's true. But I'm just imagining that it's probably quite logical. It's logical to assume that he's probably done this, you know, 1,000 times.
Yeah.
God knows how many other non-white males have died because of what Ed Buck did to them.
And think about it from the aspect of getting, you know, like you said, some guys, well, I don't know if I said it, or I know I said it, maybe you did too, but some of these guys didn't even, you know, deal with those type of drugs. Imagine the dudes that he got hooked on those drugs, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
So that makes it even harder for these guys to get their life together, who are attempting to get their life together. Now they have a drug habit on top of, you know, whatever their issue was. Maybe drinking was their downfall. Now you add on drug habit to that. So he's ruined, you know. And, you know, white people get to get away with this stuff. You think about Sandusky, Larry Nassar, you know, Ed Buck. These guys get away with this stuff for decades and decades and decades before, you know, they get them like right when they're old. I mean, he doesn't have too much more time left, so, you know, I lock him up. Like Jeffrey Dahmer, he does, you know, Ronald Dominique.
Exactly. These guys,
you know, they get to kill with impunity forever, you know.
Ronald Dominique got away with it for quite a long time as well, didn't he?
You're right.
The same same kind of MO. It's really this is not coincidence. I mean, and also there's another aspect of this with the the drug kind of the I'd say the admitted drug problem in the specifically in the LGBTQ community. There's quite a few interesting articles in relation to that as well, in relation to the whole Ed Buck case, and just in relation to LGBTQ community as a whole having like a massive problem with drugs. There's quite a few LGBTQ websites that talk about that as well, right? There's one there's one AmericanAddictionCenters.org, and it says why substance abuse is higher within the LGBTQ community, right? Wow. And AddictionCenter.com, it says LGBTQ and addiction, rates of drug abuse and addiction in the LGBTQ community are much higher than in other groups. These are articles that other people can go and look at. It's addictioncenter.com and AmericanAddictionCenters.org. And you've got rehabspot.com. And it also says the LGBTQ community drug addiction has been a long-standing concern among the LGBTQ community. Right. Now, interestingly, in some of these articles, they talk about the justification for a lot of LGBTQ people using drugs. They say that it's because of the experience of homophobia and transphobia that a lot of people, LGBTQ people, turn to drugs.
Right.
So they're trying to excuse the fact that a lot of LGBTQ people use drugs on the fact that they are bullied because of their sexuality. Now, the same explanation is not offered for Black people as a group if some Black people use drugs, for example. Right? They're not offering the same kind of excuse or explanation that, you know, victims of racism, white supremacy have a huge mental, you know, we have a whole lot of mental, mental fight. We just have a lot of mental trauma living in a system of race and white supremacy on a daily basis. We should have a whole lot of excuses to take drugs and lose ourselves in drugs and alcohol, etc., not wanting to face reality, right? But I just think it's interesting that all these articles have loads, and lots of gay newspapers, etc., they don't hide from it. They've been talking about that for years, talking about how the LGBTQ community have a massive problem with drugs. Just to touch on one thing over here as well, there's a guy, another serial killer, called Stephen Port, and he was jailed for rape and drug murders of four people over here. And they said the fact that he evaded capture was because of a lot of the males that the bodies that they found that they were drug addicts as well, or they had drugs in their system at the time. And even the police, when they examined the bodies, they didn't really investigate, because they knew that these people were gay, and that it's a well-known thing in police circles that a lot of gay people have problems with drugs. So then that guy, Stephen Port, in England, his crimes went unpunished for quite a few number of years. So I think that aspect of it is really, really interesting as well. So, you know, and just to touch on what we were talking about with Elton John and Madonna. Now, Elton John apparently is quite a gay icon. Madonna is quite a gay icon and is, quote unquote, standing with the gay community. Where are their comments about Ed Buck?
None,
and what they were doing to these Black males, these Black LGBTQ males, right? Hasn't Elton John got anything to say about Ed Buck? Hasn't Madonna got anything to say about Ed Buck? Apparently they're really behind the gay community, aren't they, right? And they're supposed to be trying to support the LGBTQ community. As far as I know, the baby hasn't killed anybody.
Right.
Right? He ain't killed anybody. He certainly ain't killed any LGBTQ people. Right. But this guy, this Ed Buck guy, has killed countless, two that we know of, but I'm sure, right, he's definitely raped countless LGBTQ people for decades. But because he's white and gay, Madonna and Elton John and people like that, and also, let's just say, other black LGBTQ people are silent
right
on what Ed Buck's right. done to these black people.
Right, Questlove, so, come on, brother.
You know, right, you know, so, hey, you know, if you're going to really, if they're going to really talk about standing with the gay community, what happened is it's gay people if you're not black, apparently. Because when you look at a system of white supremacy, gay black lives apparently don't matter, just like other black lives don't matter in a system of racism, white supremacy. And Madonna and Elton John show that on a daily basis by their silence. And up until today, I still haven't seen any comment from Elton John and Madonna in regards to Ed Buck. And I think that's really interesting. And the person I was telling you about earlier on who commented under my Instagram thing about Madonna, he when I pointed that out about Madonna and Elton John, they were saying we need unity, not division. In other words, me pointing out Madonna's hypocrisy was me, you know, fostering some sort of division. And you know, I did ask the person who said that to me. I did ask the person, do you have anything to say about Madonna, who's such a gay icon, not calling out Ed Buck for murdering gay people? Since I asked those questions, you can see I've had no response. It's still crickets. People right. can go up there and have a look. They haven't got anything to say about that. And yeah, so I just think that's quite interesting. Because they obviously don't care about gay people unless they're white.
Right. Just another arm of, another, you know, part of the system of racism. And I want to add on to this because I don't hear this, you know, brought up a lot. They talk about violence and this, that, third against gay people and you know, homosexual, everything else. A lot of their violence is within their own community. It's someone that, you know, they had, you know, sexual anti-sex with, or someone that from their own community, but they put it on straight people because they'll say,
right, exactly.
They'll say, you know, if you have, they're prostituting yourself and a person, you know, kills them or abuses them, that person is engaging in anti-sex. So he's a part of your community. I don't care if he has a wife or a girlfriend and kids. He's a part of that community because that, I mean, right. y'all embrace everybody, bi and all this stuff. Like that. So he's a part exactly. of, so stop putting it on the straight community.
Exactly. B the second letter. Right.
Right. right. That's what he is.
Right. LGBT. Right. So it's the third letter. Right. So right. yeah. So it's, yeah. Is that gay on gay violence?
That's
or
what it is.
What is that? Or bi on, is LGBTQ on LGBTQ right. violence,
that,
right?
And that's what that, a lot of it is. Because, oh, this person killed this person. He was engaging in anti-sex with him. I mean, how are you going to put that on the heterosexual community? But they do it, and no one ever challenges them with that. And so I'm just putting it out there for the people that look, just follow that. You, anytime you see a crime with, you know, a trans person getting killed or a gay person get killed by, you know, a lover or something, a crime, that's gay on gay or whatever they want to identify. And they put it, all exactly. oh, this is violence. That's within your own community. So.
They conveniently right. leave that bit out.
Right. right. And let me give an anecdote. The guy who allegedly killed Mo 3, the rapper out of Dallas, Texas, he was out on bail for shooting his transsexual girl, whatever you want to call it, his transsexual person that he was involved with. He's a part of the LGBT community. That's what he engaged.
Oh, really?
In.
He was out on bail for. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. He was out on bail. Okay.
You know, a transsexual he was involved engaging in anti-sex with. Well, that fella's a part of the LGBT community. I mean, you can't put, just because he looks like a regular dude, he got tattoos and stuff like that, doesn't matter. He's engaging in that activity, so he's a part of your community. Just like J. Edgar Hoover. They leave him. He's a part of their community.
Exactly.
Aaron Hernandez. He's a part of their community. I mean,
is that the mass shooter? The one who shot up the club? Is that the one?
Well, the football player,
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, the football player that ended up killing, you know, his sister-in-law's boyfriend or something like that. He's a big time football player. Right?
Okay. I was thinking about the other. I think he's Hispanic, or white or Hispanic. Is the guy who went to the club and did the mass shooting. Remember the gay club?
Oh, the Pulse nightclub. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And he's a member of the. Because he's apparently used to. Yeah, he used to go to that bar all the time.
Right. This is gay.
This is LGBTQ LGBTQ violence. Right. But they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the drug problem that's prevalent in the LGBTQ community, and also the fact that most of them are killed by other LGBTQ people.
Correct.
It's not straight people. It's not these are not homophobic killings, quote unquote.
Right.
Or, you know, they're not hate or quote unquote hate crimes. They're not hate crimes.
Right. Jeffrey Dahmer, he was LGBT.
Right.
This is stuff that's in your community. And you can't just blame it on homophobia. That's very convenient. I'm putting it out there. So just hopefully people just start paying attention to it, connecting the dots, see the patterns and whatnot. And, I said one more thing on the Ed Buck situation on my notes. One black male texted him about asking him, did he kill one of those black males? And they just left it hanging. They didn't say if Ed Buck responded or did he respond at all. And I think that could have been an act of racism, not putting in something that was, you know, damaging to him if he responded. So, you know, that's just something I noted. My last note.
What's that? Is this in relation to another black male that could have been killed by Ed Buck?
Right, that's what he said. He said that could have been me. Right, and he, you know, he texted him. You know, did you kill that one of the ones that, you know, one of the victims that unfortunately passed? And they didn't put a. Did he respond or there was no response? They didn't say that. So, which they could have been.
Hiding
something, but you know,
I guess I can't labor the point enough that if Ed Buck was black and he was basically drugging, sodomizing, killing other white gay people, this black guy would have been talked. I mean, over here, I mean, admittedly we're in another country over here, but. The coverage, I'm sure there would have been so much coverage over here. I mean, him getting this black male getting away with that over there for that many years. Right. I mean, and I'm sure the LGBTQ community would have had a whole lot more to say about that, about the fact that this black male was getting away with this, you know, killing all these white gay people. So yeah, I'm still yet to see what Madonna has to say about Ed Buck, and I'm still yet to see what Elton John has to say about Ed Buck, and I'm still yet to see what a lot of just LGBTQ community in general have to say about Ed Buck. They're suspiciously silent about that. I wonder why. Is it just the fact that a lot of non-white people are afraid of white people, like Dr. Francis Cresswell was saying? It's like they'd rather point the finger at if it was a black man that was doing it, but they don't want to point the finger at these white people that are not calling Ed Buck out.
Right.
Really. Yeah. Interesting.
Never a dull moment in a system of racism. There's always something. Just have to know what to look for. And that's the purpose of, you know, us having this dialogue, exchanging views, you know, just to give people, you know, something to think about, another perspective. And, you know, just trying to do our duty and attempting to solve the problem, you know, just putting out constructive information. And these are healthy dialogues. You know, these are very positive, and they're much needed. Mm. We need more of these. So, you know, you have.
Are you able to leave comments at the end of your when you post it on Black Talk Radio or Blog Talk Radio?
I believe on the page wherever you download it at, you can leave comments on them. So
I'd encourage anyone that's listening that listens to this broadcast then to make their opinions known about the fact that you do have these prominent white entertainers, etc., that are not calling out Ed Buck for what he's done to these LGBTQ people. You know, I'd encourage some comments on that because it'd be interesting to see what other people have to say on it.
Right. So let's see, you know, let's keep the conversation going. Let's, you know, apply pressure in the ways that we can, you know, let's have an answer from Madonna, Elton John, and, you know, anybody else that, you know, has something to say about the baby for participating in a genre of music that is, known for, you know, filth, especially against other black people. And you know, that's all. We're going to kind of wrap it up because.
I think so. Interesting. I knew it was going to be quite interesting. Hopefully other people find it constructive. Hopefully people have gained different perspectives on these on the topics that we've covered today. I think it's been a constructive dialogue. Hopefully other people do too.
And let me add one thing to anybody listening. You know, this isn't a major corporation, so if you know you want to share your views in a constructive manner, you know, not hostile, just in a nice cordial way, you're more than welcome to join. And on this conversation with Smoking Damages, I don't believe he'll mind. Or if you want to go, you know, have a topic you want to discuss with me, just I'm on Instagram as Racism Counterer. You can, I don't really check the Black Talk Media, my page, only when I post. So the best way to get at me is the 5W18 show on Instagram or Racism Counterer. I'm usually up there the most. So, you know, you want to get on or, you know, share your views in a constructive manner, you're more than welcome, and you know, we'll schedule something to get you on. And
I echo that. If anyone does want to, if they'd like me to clarify further what I've said today in this broadcast, like I said, I hope that I've kept it. I think we've kept it respectful. And I think we've asked enough questions, and I think we've given a perspective. But if you need any more clarification on what I think about that, then yeah, I am on Instagram on as reviews RM. It's just reviews as in the word reviews and RM. So yeah, just let me know.
Right. And so with that, you know, we wish all victims the. You know, continue to study, pay attention, try to be as safe as you can be constructive, and, you know, be safe in the system of racism. Until next time, signing out. Okay.